The title of our present meditation is Christ, Our Gift. Needless to say, the greatest gift that God has given us is the gift of Himself in the Incarnation. There is profound value in making this particular meditation because, like so many other things that God has given us, we are all too liable to take this too for granted. The gospel narrative, which describes this gift in longest and most exhaustive detail, is the account of the Annunciation in St. Luke. I will first read this most familiar of all the passages in the New Testament, though it is never read too often because it contains the cardinal mystery of our faith. After reading it, I will again choose the special lessons that it can teach us and comment on each and apply them to ourselves. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And when the angel had come to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." When she had seen him, she was troubled at his word, and kept wondering what manner of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he shall be king over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How shall this happen, since I do not know man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And therefore the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, also has conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing shall be impossible to God." But Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. What are, among the myriad truths involved in this mystery, what are some of the principal lessons that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. It is the description of the Incarnation from one viewpoint. It is the Annunciation from another viewpoint. It is the beginning of our redemption from still another viewpoint. It is the origin of the Church founded by Christ. And as the fathers of the Church tell us, it is the beginning of a new age in the annals of mankind. I choose just three lessons. First, God chose Mary as his mother because of her humility. Second, God became a man in order to save us from our sins. And third, God became man like us in order to invite us to become like him. Mary's humility. Everything about the Annunciation depicts Mary as a humble person. She is troubled at the angel's extraordinary praise. Proud people like to be praised. No trouble. They never get enough. She has to be lengthily reassured by the angel that there is no mistake. She knew perfectly well the moment the angel began, his Annunciation, what he was implying. She knew the ancient prophets. He had to tell her, "Now, Mary, I know exactly how you feel. You are the one chosen to be the mother of the one who is to come. In fact, he's coming right now." She had vowed, as the Church's tradition has always taught us, she had vowed herself to virginity, and so humbly asks how she can become a mother while remaining a virgin. Though, as the fathers further explain, she was perfectly willing to do whatever the Lord wanted. She calls herself, here I know I'm speaking to the right audience, the handmaid of the Lord. And no matter what you do with the Greek, call it servant, call it maid servant, call it handmaid, the inner core of that term is lowly humility. Then, as the capstone, she humbly declares, the Latin sounds better, "Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum." The passive voice, "Be it done to me." The essence of humility is allowing God to do to us what He wants, and no resistance. What are we to make of all of this? A great deal. God consistently favors humble people for His greatest tasks. You would think by now the proud would have learned their lesson, but pride never learns. So you want to do something great. Great. Be humble. Let's make sure, however, we know what we're talking about. A humble person is a person who is little in his own eyes. Let's make sure we don't make this mistake, to suppose that somehow greatness and humility are incompatible. Oh no, just the opposite. The genius of humility is to give God all the credit for whatever virtue or intelligence or ability a person may have. The essence of pride, let's keep saying it, the hardest, I think I will dare say it, the only lesson we've got to learn in life, humility. I've been studying it for years. I'd be out of my mind if I said, I have learned it. The essence of pride is not in possessing much, because, and what a spectacle that is, little people can also be proud. Just give a small mind power, and you see what happens. For me, it's somewhere near the heart of the crisis of the modern world. Little people with power. Pride is taking credit to oneself for what really is a gift of God. We read more than once in the Scriptures that God gives His grace to the humble, that He withdraws His grace from the proud. This is awfully true. And as we stand between the present moment and the moment when we shall face our Maker, let's be sure we've got this clear. Unless we are humble, we shall not be saved. Amen. Close the book. I've seen too much of human nature. I've met genius. I have dealt with sanctity. All I know is that true greatness never, never makes the tragic mistake of thinking that what the person has is mine. Why, we might ask, is God so ruthless, if I can use the term, in dealing with pride? Because he wants us to live the truth. This is God we are talking about. He is lavish with his blessings and prodigal with his gifts. Just watch the millions upon millions of leaves falling from the trees in autumn. To me, the symbol of divine prodigality. But this same God insists that no one foolishly, which means dishonestly, talk or act as though what they possessed was really their own. And I sure hope I'll be clear. Most of us are intelligent and sober enough not to verbally say, all I've got is my own. It's our behavior. It's the acting as though it's our own. Because truth is mainly expressed not in words, but in deeds. As the worst lies are not told in sentences, but in the way we act. Mary was the most gifted creature that God ever made. She had the fullness of grace, and with this plenitude had everything else. That's right. Everything else that God can give. That's a large statement. Yet, what a mysterious yet. She never for a moment doubted that what she had was not hers by right, but hers as a gift. The more God blesses us, the more he has given us in whatever way. And some of us God has blessed immensely, physically, intellectually, socially, morally, socially, psychologically, academically, and so on down the adverbs that I thought I should stop at.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.